Alrighty, everybody, welcome back to another edition of the KSL.com Game Center podcast. We're talking a little more basketball today, this time some college hoops, joined by Josh Furlong to talk about the run in Utes. How are you doing today, Josh?
Doing well. How about you, Caleb?
Doing all right as well. Here we are in this new year, 2024, getting things started. And the Utes play tonight. Or no, yes, tonight, right?
Yes, correct.
On the
Again.
road, sorry, I was looking at the women play the same team and it's tomorrow, so I was confused there for a second. On the
It's
road at Arizona State.
honestly.
Yeah. But really exciting season. Obviously the last couple of years, the women's team has been doing really, really well, but the men's side not as much. And now it seems like they've kind of both answered the bell a little bit, and we've got possibly two tournament teams up on the hill this year. I know that you've been kind of sharing a little bit about where this team sits right now as far as odds going into March, and it seems like they're, about as close to a lock without officially being a lock.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like this is it's still early, right? Like we're two games into conference season. There's still a couple months to go until Selection Sunday. But as it stands, the way that Utah's put itself together with its resume and everything, team rankings, which is it's a way of being able to look at predictive measures and bracketology and stuff like that. This morning it updated it to 98.2%. That's the highest Utah's had in the whole season. They started roughly, 50, 70% around there. I think most teams are around that to start the season just because everybody has the same shot to get to the NCAA tournament. But I mean, this is a team that has definitely improved. Obviously, they have a win over BYU, which is their ranked opponent. Their only losses to Houston or only losses to Houston and St. John's, which are both quality opponents. So it's been a good season, and I think, unless Utah completely collapses down the stretch in conference play, which has happened over the years. I think this is the year that Utah finally breaks their drought and finally gets back to the NCAA tournament. So it'll be interesting to see, but it's definitely a good year for basketball at the University of Utah.
Yeah, and not just at the U, but for the state of Utah in general, it's looking like obviously BYU is very good this year. You mentioned that matchup that was a really big early non-conference matchup, like the between a really, really good BYU team and really, really good Utah team, that I think could definitely be I think helped both teams in the long run, but especially Utah to kind of get onto like the national scale a little bit. BYU obviously nationally ranked. The Utes not yet nationally ranked, but as I know you've been following, have been getting votes and like right there on the fringe for so long. What's it going to take, you think, for them to be able to finally break the top 25?
I mean, I think there's a few things, right? I mean, it's hard, especially in basketball, to crack into the top 25 just because teams can stay in there longer with losses. Unlike football, where you lose and you drop a ton, right? With basketball, it is very much so more nuanced, and you have to look at kind of who's in there. So you have a team, for example, like Gonzaga. I think they have four losses right now. Obviously, a perennial power in college basketball anymore. They're hanging on, but it takes teams like that to be able to fall out, as well as for the Utes to be able to continue to win. So I think Utah, for all intents and purposes, they obviously they need to win, but I think they just need to stay around that bubble, right? Like they still need to do well. If you go into this week where you've got Arizona State, a game that Utah should win even though it's on the road, that helps. And then as long as you can keep the game close against a top 10 team in Arizona, I think that's okay. Obviously, if you win, I don't think there's a doubt that Utah would be ranked if you can come away from this weekend, with two wins. But it's one of those things where I think as long as Utah remains kind of competitive, especially against Arizona, things are going to be okay. They're going to sort itself out, whether they're in the top 25. I don't know it matters as much in basketball as it does in other sports. So it'd be nice to be included in the top 25. I think teams want to be there. Fans want their teams to be there just because that's where it is. And you can look at BYU's schedule and say, why does BYU get in versus Utah? It's also timing, right? I mean, I think there's a lot of that, and BYU rose high quickly. And Utah, it just hasn't been as consistent as BYU has. So, I wouldn't get too worked up over that. I think it's something that is fun, but Utah's going to be fine. Your end goal is the NCAA tournament, really, realistically.
Yeah, for sure. And it's so interesting. I mean, you kind of mentioned timing there, right? With like where when do you lose your games, right? Because BYU didn't lose until playing Utah. But overall, I mean, Utah only has two losses. BYU has one loss. And also, I think the team that's really being forgotten in the state of Utah is Utah State. They only have one loss. And so the big three teams in the state of Utah, only with four losses coming out of non-conference play. It's kind of a crazy year in the state of Utah for college hoops.
But it's an awesome time, right? Like the three main schools are or I wouldn't say main, I more upper
Yeah.
tier schools are doing that, because Weber State's right
Weber
there in the
State,
mix.
yeah.
They're a phenomenal program. They've got
Yeah.
Dylan Jones, who may be one of the best players in the state of Utah, if not the best. So that if everything stays, you've got at least four teams that are projected to be able to make the NCAA tournament, which, if I remember right, would be the most since, I think, something like 2003, or I can't remember. I did the math and I tweeted it
Yeah.
the other day. So, if you're really bored, you can go look at my Twitter account, because my brain is mush. But I mean, the fact that you have this much competitive basketball in the state of Utah right now is phenomenal. So we haven't had that in a long time. I mean, a lot of years, Utah doesn't have any teams, from the state going to the NCAA tournament, which is pretty sad. So this is a good year, and no matter what your fandom is, I mean, this is a great opportunity to watch some quality basketball.
Yeah, I just looked it up, and you were right. It was 2003, and you put where everybody got out in the tournament, and Utah was the only one to get past the first round. So props to them.
There you go. They lost the second, though.
Lost the second round. But going back to the youth for a little bit, I know obviously that the big focus, the big guy this year has been Brandon Carlson. He was named National Player of the Week this week. He's kind of the focal point, but I know you tweeted out kind of a couple different of lineups that have been really good for the Utes this year. And obviously it's not just one guy that gets you to the point that the Utes are at, right? So who are some of the other guys around Carlson, that in your opinion have kind of like elevated this team, I guess, to where they are right now?
Yeah, it's pretty consistent with the metrics, and some people can ride these too long and get a little worked up over it, but it's been pretty consistent that Brandon Carlson, Gabe Madsen, and Raleigh Wooster have been your most consistent guys, right? That those three guys, no matter which pairing you have, generally work out. There may be some instances where it doesn't, and there are, right? There are some pairings that way, but for the most part, those three are your core. The best lineup outside of the starting unit to start, right? The starting unit has got the most experience. You've got two bigs with Lawson Lovering, and then you also add in Cole Bajema, who's a transfer from Washington. That has been Utah's best plus minus. But overall, that hasn't been the most efficient. The best efficient lineup for Utah right now has been the new addition of Davon Smith, who he's only in his fourth game, right? He came in, he was waiting for an NCAA waiver, and then that whole thing sorted out, and now he's cleared. He's been a phenomenal addition to Utah, and just the guard play and taking a little bit of the pressure off of Raleigh Wooster. You add him with Kaba Keita, who is a sophomore, phenomenal big man who just has a level of physicality that Utah hasn't seen in years. You add those five players into it, and that lineup is pretty dynamic. It has been the best lineup for Utah in most statistical categories, right? Like, you can pick and choose and do different things that way, but that one has been one of the best lineups, and it passes the eye test too, right? You watch this lineup and it's been pretty remarkable. It's still a small sample size. Davon has only been playing for four games, and two of those have been conference games. So it'll be we'll see how that shakes out as the season develops, but I would imagine that kind of is there. And then one other player that's kind of been added to the mix from time to time is Hunter Erickson, former BYU player. He decided to go to the JUCO route after that, go to SLC, Salt Lake Community College, for those that don't know, and then decided to come to Utah. He's been a great addition to the team as well. He's a different type of player, right? He's not going to be the guy that's going to get you 50 points every night. Well, nobody's getting 50 points, let's be real, but 20 points a night, right? Like, he's consistently doing what he needs to be able to be on the court, but he's also got a great defense, and he's been able to do well to give Utah the minutes that they need. So Craig's been able to mix and match with his lineups, and it's been pretty effective, and he can go in a lot of different ways, and it's been pretty effective for this Utah team.
Yeah, it feels like there's a couple different reasons I think that this team has steadily improved over the last couple of years, and I think Craig Smith obviously needed time, right, to kind of get his program, his guys. But also looking at that lineup that you mentioned, four of those guys are seniors, And Kata's the only one that's not. So I think as we've seen time after time in college basketball, right? Like the teams that are able to mature and age together and have, you know, these senior heavy teams seem to always do better in college basketball than a lot of the younger teams.
Yeah, I mean, the national champions almost always have veteran teams outside of just phenomenal talent that the
Right.
one and ones, the Dukes and North Carolinas or Kansases, Kentuckys get every year. But even those don't necessarily have a lot of staying power. I mean, you have to consistently churn out those multiple one and done type players, or at least two and done type players. But I think you're seeing more and more that just veterans in college basketball lead out, right? Like that's what matters in the NCAA tournament. That's what matters going, deep into that tournament. So that bodes well for Utah. I don't know if that means anything going into March, right? But I think if they can consistently do that, stay healthy, that's a good thing. You've got guys that just honestly have seen the floor a lot, right? It matters to be able to have that confidence. You see a guy like Brandon Carlson, who this is his fifth year, right? He's a COVID senior. He was effective, like he's always been effective for Utah as their starter, but you can see he's taken a new development to his game, and he's just continually growing. And so that's just kind of that level that you get when you get guys that are just comfortable with where they're at. It's just like a job, right? You get more comfortable the longer you've been there. You don't feel like the newbie. You don't, you get the inside jokes. You understand what's going on, and you don't, you understand what the Christmas presents are going to be from your company, and you can be happy or sad about that. No, I don't know. It's just all these things that you feel happy about.
And this year we got a Stanley Cup, Josh.
There you go. The Stanley Cup, right? Like, no, we didn't get the thing. We got the face.
People are waiting outside of Target for hours in the morning to get these cups, all right?
Hey, it says KSL.com on it. It is ours, okay?
It's an exclusive, all right?
That's
Yeah, and then to kind of finish up, the one guy who's not a senior is Kiba Keita, and I know you mentioned him. You've been one that as I followed your Twitter, you seem to always kind of highlight different things that he's doing. So I kind of want to give you the chance to kind of go on your Keita soapbox here and talk about what makes this guy so great. He's only a sophomore, so he potentially 2 more years after this with the Utes, barring, an explosion and he goes to the NBA or something, right?
Yeah, Kaba's one of those players where he came in last year, really raw type player, right? Like he just looked like he had the physicality and the size. I mean, I think it was Brandon Carlson called him a Greek god looking body. Like he just has this like physique that just screams like he's gonna go kill you. But he was really raw last year. He had a lot of potential, but it just, being raw is tough, right? You want to get in there, but you can't leave them on the floor too long. But he made tremendous strides over the year, right? Like he came in, he put in the work. He's got a great mentor in Brandon Carlson, but he's got a great coach in Chris Burgess, came from BYU as the assistant coach, as the bigs for Utah. He's been phenomenal in his transformation, right? The thing with Kaba is he's still raw. There's still things about his game that you're looking at as if he could add a little bit more finesse to it, he could be one of the most dominant bigs in the country. But he's still not there yet. He's still not getting the time that he fully will probably get because he's still trying to acclimate to that, right? He's still learning how to stay there, not foul, also just kind of conditioning yourself to be there. You may look like a Greek god, but it still takes time to stay on the court for 30 minutes, right? So, but he's doing everything. I mean, he's been an impact player on defense where, anything close to the rim, he's going to swat at it or at least make an attempt at it. And these aren't just like little blocks. These are Dikembe Mutombo type blocks where he's sending it into the fifth level of the Huntsman Center. Offensively, though, he's been great around the rim. Brandon Carlson has added another element to his game by being able to pass to him a lot. They've been able to work well in tandem and being able to do that. But more than anything, he's just kind of that energy type player, right? Teams need energy players. They feed off of that. That's where momentum is built. Anytime Utah puts Kaba into the game, there seems to be something that changes in that dynamic, right? And it's more just that effort and that explosive play that he brings, that it doesn't matter that he's still raw or that he's still, there's still some refinement that needs to come. He brings that level of excitement to the game that just resonates with the rest of the team. So, you look, there's I don't want to say he's the best player on the floor because he's not, right? Like he's got a lot of things that he needs to grow and develop into. But he is an instant playmaker that comes onto the floor that Utah's really lucky to be able to have. And if they can continue to see this type of refinement and progress from him, I mean, coming into next year, he could be honestly, like I said, one of the best bigs in the country. So this is a great asset for Utah. They're going to continue to utilize him and continue to have him grow. You're seeing him progress as the season develops. So I wouldn't be surprised if, as the season kind of ends and they get into that March territory where he becomes much more a focal point of that team on offense and defense, just because he's pretty dynamic.
Well, and to just have a two-way player like that is so huge, right? A guy that can, like you said, have these energetic block huge plays on defense and then has a growing offensive game. I mean, sky's the limit, it feels like, for this guy. So
For
pretty
sure.
cool. Well, big tests this weekend for the Utes. Got the Arizona two-step going to Arizona State tonight, and then Arizona on Saturday. So big time for them, big kind of early conference test, and I'm excited to see how they come back to Utah looking.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting test, right? I mean, I think it's a series that hasn't been kind to Utah the last few years, and honestly, most series haven't been kind to Utah the last few years, but this is a tough road environment. Arizona State's a tough game with Bobby Hurley. He always gets his teams ready, and Utah's found a way to lose close games. And then Arizona, I mean, Utah hasn't beat Arizona in Tucson since 1987. So I mean, this
Wow,
is,
there's a stat.
yeah. And granted, it's only been 12 attempts, right? So I mean, this hasn't been like every year they're losing for the last 37 years, but it's a tough place, right? Anybody that's gone up against an Arizona team knows how tough they are, and their fans are phenomenal. That U of A chant drowns anybody out anywhere you go. It's going to be a rocking environment. But I think if any team has a chance to do it on the road, this team does. So I think this will be a fun environment, right? But I think tonight, against Arizona, it kind of sets the stage for that, right? If Utah doesn't show out against Arizona State, I don't really give them much of a chance against Arizona, but we'll see. It'll be fun either way.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. And we'll catch you guys next time on the KSL.com Game Center podcast.